losing the weight of worry. Oh, dear. Chapter number 6, and we're going to start in verse number 26. Actually, we'll do them 25 as well. Matthew chapter number 6, we'll start in verse number 25. If you found that, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come before you today, I first off want to thank you for the love that you have shown us. You are a good, good Father. You love us so much that you sent your Son. Because your wrath upon sin is so strong, we needed a lamb that could take it. We're thankful that you sent Jesus to die for us. I'm thankful that Jesus did die for us. I'm thankful, Lord, that he went ahead and did exactly what he was supposed to do. You've asked him to do it, and he did it. I'm thankful, Lord, he didn't just lay in the grave and somebody later picked up his bones and said, this must be Jesus of Nazareth. Instead, he rose from the dead. Lord, I'm thankful that he sits at your right hand right now. Father, I'm thank you that you've given us all these words and all the scriptures that we have, Lord. Every word, every sentence, every paragraph, every chapter, every book speaks about your Son. And Father, today he's telling us not to be anxious about anything. Father, I pray that you'll have your perfect will today. I pray that you'll touch hearts, touch minds, cause us to think, Lord. And Father, I'll ask these things in your precious Son's name, the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, I know that you're anxious to know how I'm doing and losing weight. I know it was on everybody's mind. I am losing weight right and left. Whew! I'll tell you, a couple of weeks ago, I finally left all my guilt aside, and I was able to throw it away. So anyhow, guilt is now gone. I don't have that anymore because I'm trusting God, and what he says goes, and so therefore I'm trusting him. A couple of weeks ago, I had a little fear, and we talked about fear, and now I can cast that aside. I don't have that either. I'm waiting for them to split. But anyway, one of these days, they will. Last week, we talked about sin, and I'm so glad that I could take that sin that so easily besets me, that sin that constantly comes back to me, and I could drop that back. And also, I'm just happy to tell you I lost another pound. Yeah, it was an up and down week. I lost about 4 pounds in my hair, though. I'm so thankful that so many of you didn't say, Bob, you need a haircut. Well, I did. Because believe me, if you're thinking that, my wife has already been on my case about that. So anyhow, I lost about 4 pounds there. I'm doing really good. I'm excited about today. I'm excited about talking about, to me, which is the one thing of all the things we're going to talk about that all of us probably have in our life, worry. Now, I'm one of those guys who I worry about a little bit, and I'll chew and chew and chew on it, and then finally I'll just get rid of it. Now, I got to tell you, my wife's not that way. My wife takes it in, she thinks about it and thinks about it and thinks about it. We all handle worry just a little bit differently. Well, today as we look at this particular passage, we can see that Jesus is up on the mountainside and he's teaching the disciples and he's saying to them, I don't want you to be anxious. Now, anxious is just another word for worry. I find it interesting that the definition for that particular word is something that means, well, it's dwelling on your difficulties. It means that you have troubles. Strong's says it means to be troubled with care. I found the Old English translation to be very, very interesting. It says the word that is worry is to mean choke or to tear at the throat. Now you say, well, I don't understand that. Well, I'll tell you what, if you've ever worried a little bit, you have worried. You need something, and you need something to drink. You need something to take the place of all of that worry that you have. And of course, the answer to that is the Holy Spirit himself. And we need his refreshing. We need that so much. When I look at this particular passage, I understand that this is the fourth time now that we're into this. We're looking at a few of these things that so easily beset us. We're losing the weight right and left. But to me, as I look at this, we have to go back to our key verse that we started out with so many weeks ago, and that is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I'll read those for you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before you. You see, unless I take this weight out of my backpack, it's going to continue to hamper me no matter what I do. It's almost getting to the point where I can wear it. Almost getting to that point. Every time I take out another one of these, I can wear it, and I can go further. I can walk further. I can jump up and down. I can do all sorts of things because I'm not carrying the same amount of weight that I was at one time. With every burden and every weight that I take out, my burden is lightened. Worry. Unlike guilt and fear and basically sin itself, this is one I think that all of us probably suffer with just a little bit. The sign out front, I don't know if you happen to notice that. The sign out front says, for every Goliath, there's a stone. I'm so thankful for Barb. She comes in every Monday and she says, okay, I've got these following things. What's the message going to be about? May I say thank you to all those who are so keen on understanding and wanting everything to move smoothly. I'm thankful that Barb comes in and says, okay, I've got these following things. And the very first one she said was, for every Goliath, there's a stone. And I thought, boy, if that isn't needed in worry, I really like that a lot. Of course, she had some other great ones, but I wanted that one. But I think I want to paraphrase it just a little bit differently. I paraphrased it and said, for every Goliath in your life, there's a stone with its name on it. I got to tell you, whatever your worry is in your life, God already knows, and he can already be taking care of it. All we have to do is rely on him and trust him, and that thing should be taken care of. There are 5 points I want to talk about today, and normally I don't do this, but anyhow, we're going to have 5 points. I promise you we'll get through all 5, but there are 5 points I want you to think about today, and I'd like you to write them down, because you are going to worry, and when you get to these worrying points, I want you to be able to go back to that, and by the way, on the back of your folder, there's a room to write today, yeah. Somebody got to me this week and says, we didn't have anything to write on. All right, well, you have something to write on today. Point number one, I want you to think about, I want you to understand that worry is irrational. Now, think about that a minute. It's not rational for us to worry, because Jesus says, don't be anxious about anything. Worry is irrational. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Jesus is speaking this so clearly to them. He's just been teaching them all these things that they have had in the past and the way that they have run their life in the past through Judaism. And he's telling them here, I understand that you know what you know, but there's things that you don't know that you need to know. I can't say that again. We need to understand. We need to know what those are, and Jesus is opening that up to them. You see, Jesus' whole guidance, if you will, his whole method, his whole point to the Sermon on the Mount is simply this. For the Jews, everything was an outward man. Everything that they did was outward. So they would go, they would pick an animal, they would slaughter the animal, they would go through all these things. Every part of the law they took as the outward man doing. But Jesus is teaching them totally something new, and that is, it's not just about the actions of the outside man, but it is the actions of the inward man. Jesus says, I know you've heard it said by them of old, thou shalt not kill. But I tell you, if you have hatred in your heart already, you're a murderer. Now think about that one. It wasn't enough that we don't murder, but he's saying if you have hatred or anger in your heart, then you're already guilty of being a murderer. Jesus continues on, and he goes over and over all these commandments, and he goes over all these rules and all these ordinances that they've been going through as he preaches this great Sermon on the Mount. Now he gets to this particular point, and it's almost like there's a parenthetical process here. He's kind of talking outside. I've been teaching you this, but now I want you to understand this. I don't want you to be anxious. I don't want you to worry. I must say that worry to me is one of those things that I get, and I can chew on it and chew on it and chew on it and chew on it, and then pretty soon I realize that it is taking over me. My thought processes have changed. I'm really, really serious now into this worry. Well, worry totally is really irrational. I have this process that I go through whenever I'm having to make a decision. And it's simply this. The things that are going to last a long time, I'm going to put a lot of thought into. The things that are going to last a bit just a short period of time, I'm not going to put very much thought into. For example, today my wife and I are going to get in the car as we're leaving here, and that age-old question will pop up. Where are we having lunch? Now, I'm not worried about that. I know we'll pick someplace, and we'll go have lunch somewhere, and then we'll go home. I'm not putting a lot of thought process in that whatsoever. But if I'm going to buy a new car, a new house, if we're going to decide to have more children, I put pause here, right? No. If we're going to have more children, what college should we go to? Those kind of things, that takes a more thought to go into it. But it's thought, not worry. You see, there's a big difference. Worry really centers on, can I change something? Think about it. Breaking down worry to the simplest form is simply this. Something is happening, and either I can or I can't change it. Either I can or I can't. Now, may I say that worry in either one of those cases is wrong. If you can change it, change it. If you can't change it, don't worry. Don't worry. It'll make you sick. You'll focus on that and you'll lose every opportunity that God may have for you during that same period of time. If you can change it, change it. Don't worry. If you can't change it, don't worry, move on. Place it in God's hands and simply move on. Jesus says, don't be anxious about your life. But my natural man wants to worry. How about yours? Do you want to worry? We all look and we say, not really. Yes, you do. You know why? Because we want to take that problem and bring it back. We don't really want to give it to the Lord. We want to bring it back. And so therefore, then we chew on it. We worry about it, and we worry, and we worry, and we worry. Truth of the matter is, worry is irrational. Worry is abnormal. Look at the birds of the air. They neither reap or sow. They gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable to them? Jesus must have caught a sight of a bird just then. I can just imagine the way he teaches. He's teaching me, he says, hey, the birds right here, God takes care of them. They don't worry about a whole lot of things. God takes care of them. So maybe you ought to be the same way. Maybe you shouldn't worry. You know, it's in our DNA to worry. I know that. No problem, no understanding. I mean, I got that. But it is abnormal. Number three, worry does not bring closure. Worry does not bring closure. And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Well, his question basically is one, you can't. No matter how much worry you may put into it, you can't change a single minute of your life. You can't add. And in most cases, the things that we worry about, we can't change anyway. There's nothing about it that we can change. So if we're going to do that, then we must understand, here looking just at nothing but worry, we can never have closure in that. What's going to happen is we're just going to continue to worry. And we're going to continue to worry. We may push it off a little bit, but it's going to rear its ugly head and it's going to come back and we're going to worry again and we're going to worry again and worry again. Every now and then, our family, we might eat at Cracker Barrel. Now, I know that everybody knows what a Cracker Barrel is. And anyhow, what's out front of a Cracker Barrel? Yeah, rocking chairs, right? I love them rocking chairs. I mean, I sit down in a rocking chair, and I can just sit there, and pretty soon my legs are just pumping up and down, and I'm moving back and forth and moving back and forth. And pretty soon they call out, Crowder, party of 5 or 7 or 12 or 2, whatever it may be. And anyhow, then I get up out of that chair and leave. Now, here's the thing. I put an awful lot of effort to that. I put an awful lot of movement into that and got nowhere. So let me tell you, worry is your rocking chair. You can worry about it. You can rock all day long. You can worry and worry and worry. You can rock in that chair, even if you got one of those that's a twofer. You know what I'm talking about? Or some of those rocking chairs, two for you can sit on it. So you're both rocking back and forth. And may I also say that that's exactly what worry likes. Worry likes company. It's not enough that I'm worrying. Well, I better get my spouse worrying about this as well, or my friend, or whatever it might be. We're all going to worry about those together. And may I say, you're just in a rocking chair. Get up. Step away from that rocking chair and move forward. Worry doesn't change any situation, and certainly the one thing it will do is change you. I've seen people who their whole life is dedicated to worry, and you look at them and you think, boy, if that's a Christian, I want no part of that. If that's what Christianity is all about, then I don't want that. I thought you'd sing songs like Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. He's a good, good father. We sing that with gusto. Man, I'm glad we sing those songs today. But if all we're doing is singing the songs and not applying it to our life, then what in the world are we doing? There's a lot of truth in the saying, misery loves company. Because I find most people that are miserable, they like to bring others with them. So I have one point of advice today. If somebody is miserable and they're trying to draw you into that miserability, don't sit in the rocking chair with them. Now hear me. Don't sit in that rocking chair with them. Move away. You don't need that. You don't need it in your life because I tell you, worry is contagious. And pretty soon everybody around you will be doing the same. So worry does not bring closure for sure. Number four is worry is truly a lack of faith. Oh dear. Yeah, here we go. This is it. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? As a 21st century Christian, I realize that everything I have, I owe to the Lord. Everything I have is God's. God has just given it to me on loan. You see, in the Old Testament, you got to keep everything except for 10%. Jesus says, yeah, let me talk to you about that just a minute. Everything you have is because God loves you and he's given it to you. Everything you have. So everything that I own, the house, cars, clothes, shoes, socks, hairbrush, whatever it may be, all that, it all belongs to God. It's not mine. Now, if it all belongs to God and he's just given it to me on loan, then I ought to be a lot more freer with my money. I ought to be giving it out to more things because it's his money. It's not mine. You can say, oh, me, if you so desire. Or you can say, amen. It's God's money. When I stop and think about my needs, I was sitting down with a piece of paper not long ago, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to write down all my needs. You know, God needs to know this. So I wrote down with a piece of paper, and I started writing all my needs. And I one of those yellow tablets, you know, it's extra long. You know, I was about 3/4 of the way through then. It was almost like the Holy Spirit just stopped me. And so I went back, and I looked over all those words, and I realized that there was a real fault line here. I was considering my needs as earthly and not as forever. Hang with me just a second. So I tore that piece of paper out and I started writing a new list of needs. And one of the things I wrote is, I need eternal life with God the Father. Number two is, I need to have a Savior who loves me and would go to the cross and pay for the wrath that God would have on my sins. That's what I need. I need a Savior. Number three, I wrote down here that I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Comforter. I need His teaching. I need His love. I need His arms wrapped around me during those times. That's what I need. Number four, I needed somebody to tell me about the love of God at one time in my life. Whether it be a Sunday school teacher, a preacher, maybe it's a friend, whoever it was, I needed somebody at one time to tell me how about the love of God. And number five, I just wrote down here, to understand God's divine will for my life. And as I compared those two lists now, I started realizing that this list here was very surface, not very deep. And I just wadded that list up, and I threw it in a trash can, and I said, okay, here is really my needs. Do I need food and water? No. Only if the Lord wants me to have it. If it's His will that I be taken away, then I'm ready to go. All these other needs that we sometimes put on our prayer list, I want to tell you that those are just temporal needs. We have an everlasting need. And let me also tell you that there are folks all around this church that has those needs as well. And they may not know it yet, unless you and I tell them about the love of God. Only I could do it. I know that in every area of my life, God understands what I'm coming from, and He understands where I'm talking about. And I sometimes think that, you know, He just wipes His brow, and He turns to the Trinity, He turns to the Son, and He turns to the Holy Spirit, and He says, I wonder if Bob's ever going to get it. Here's what I've got for Him. I've got all these great things for Him. And He just keeps taking His mind off of me and putting it on somebody else. No, even more importantly, He's putting it on things that He cannot change. He's worrying. He's anxious. He does not get things done. Instead, I've got something for Him, something very special. I've got something that will take the place of all of that. I've got the peace that passes all understanding. And that's only through my shed blood and the sending of the Holy Spirit. To further this point, Warren Wiersbe, and I just really love Warren Wiersbe's writing, but anyhow, he wrote this according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. God will meet all your needs according to His riches in glory. I love it how most people just take that and they crop that one off. He'll supply all your needs. Yes! Bring me that new Mercedes! I want a 4,000 square foot house. That's a need. Thank you, Lord, you're going to give me that. I will tell you one other thing I found when I was doing my list on the left-hand page. I found that I would be embarrassed if I presented that list to folks in other countries that are in hiding because they can't even proclaim the gospel. Oh, my list, I looked at it, and I tell you, I was so humbled by that list. I couldn't wait to trash it. I couldn't wait to throw it away because that, to me, was putting things way out of perspective. God never promised me a rose garden. He never promised me the way it would be smooth. He never promised me those things. He never promised I'd never get sick. He never promised me that I'd never have an operation. And by the way, He never promised me that I would not die. Instead, what He did say is, if I'm born, I am going to die. Now, there's only one reason I may not die. Amen. That's right. One day, God's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. Linda says today, we're driving here, and she says, I wonder what kind of clouds they're going to be. And I, being the smart aleck that I am, and I said, I don't care. Come on, Jesus. Man, I can't wait till he comes back. And the skies open up, and here comes Jesus. And he looks down at us, and what if he would say, oh, you silly, silly kids. I had so much for you, and you worried your life away. I'm coming. I carry with me eternal life. I carry with me the very thing that your soul really needs, and you're worried about things in your life. I want to tell you, stop your worrying. Be anxious for nothing. So how does a Christian confront worry? Paul responds with these words. Rejoice. Try that one next time you're worrying. You got your worry going on. I mean, you really got it lathered up. I mean, you're really worrying. Then I want you to just think, okay, am I rejoicing during that time? Is my worry rejoicing? I think not. Paul says, rejoice. However, this is not just a temporary happiness that he's talking about. What he's really talking about, this happiness does not depend on circumstances. Oh, we as Christians today, we want to think that God has a special hand on us, and no matter what happens to us, God is in control of our lives, and he is covering us over, and he's going to protect us, and he's going to bring us along. May I tell you, his hand is on your life. But we're going to get sick. We're going to get cancer. We're going to die. I promise. Unless Jesus comes back, each one of us are going to die in here. So it's not about worry about things on this earth. It should be, what am I designing in my mind and heart that God wants to apply his whole life to me and say, I've got something better for you. Stop your worrying. I've got something better. The things that you're worrying about are all temporal. They don't matter in eternity. What really matters in eternity is your next door neighbor saved? Is your coworker saved? What kind of life are you living at this particular time? And the last point, worry is the opposite of rejoicing. Thank you very much. I love this part. Paul writes to the church at Philippi. Now, thanks, Brent, for reading this, but I just want to focus on it just a moment. Listen to what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Now, for all of you sitting there not singing, shame on you. And then what does he say right after that? Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't worry. We could just sing that song. Don't worry. Be happy. Be happy. Don't worry. Yeah, we could sing that, but that's not the song today. The song truly is rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So how do we do it? We show great love. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul acknowledges that the names of the believers of Jesus Christ are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I want you to think about that next time worry starts hitting you. What has God given us and already placed upon us that call upon him as our Savior? Our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I want to tell you, should that not get you excited this morning? Tough crowd. I really want to get excited here. I really want to run up and down this aisle right here. The Mevo won't catch me, but I really do. Think about that. Of all the things that have happened in this world and all the things that continue to happen to you, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it is there for eternity, and it can never be wiped away. Should we not be happy? Should we not rejoice? Well, let's don't worry about things that are on this earth. Let's think about eternal things. I'll get excited here in just a minute. If we lose our job, rejoice. Be happy. Rejoice. If our 401k goes to zero, be anxious for nothing. Rejoice.
Because it's not about this world, it's about eternity. Why should I rejoice instead of worry? Here they are, really quick. Number one is, our citizenship is in heaven. I live in heaven. That's where I'm going. This world down here, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. I use that in a lot. You know why? Because I memorized that and I learned, that was my first song I learned to play on the guitar. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open doors, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know what's the matter with Christians today? We're too at home in this world. Oh, yeah. Number two, the Savior's waiting for us. Yeah, that's how I felt, too. Who said that? Yeah. Yes. He is waiting for us to come. Oh, my goodness gracious. Number three, our earthly body will be transformed into a glorious body. Oh, think about that one, brother. I can eat all the Chewies I want, and it's not going to affect me. I'm telling you, that glorious body is going to be awesome. Can you just imagine passing through walls like Jesus did when he went to see the disciples? Can you see, there's no hindrances on that body whatsoever. There's no arthritis. There's no eyesight problems. None of those things are going to happen. Instead, we're going to have this glorious body. I have no idea what it's going to be like, but I can't wait to try it on. Our names are written in the book of life. We talked about them. And only with God are we able to find peace. So therefore, rejoice. Today, worry. We have it. We as Christians, we gravitate towards it. And I want to tell you, next time that happens, think, is my worry offsetting my rejoicing? If not, we ought to rejoice even more. For the series, I've been quoting some lyrics to some songs. I have another one for you now. It's written by a guy by the name of Ryan Stevenson. And for those of you that are going to the Toby Mac concert, he will be there. Very excited about him being there. But he says, in the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When the solid ground is falling out from beneath my feet, between the black skies and my red eyes, I can hardly see. When I realize I've been sold out by my friends and my family, I can feel the rain reminding me, in the eye of the storm, you remain in control. When my hopes and dreams are far from me and I'm running out of faith, I see the future I picture slowly fade away, and my tears of pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. When the tests come in and the doctor says I only have a few months left, it's a bitter pill I'm swallowing, I can barely catch my breath. And when the addiction steals my baby girl and there's nothing I can do, my only hope is to trust in you. To trust in you in the eyes of the storm. You remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When do we worry? We worry when we're in the storms. We are going to have storms. They're going to be all around us. We as Christians, they're going to be sometimes insurmountable. Be anxious for nothing, Jesus says. Now, if Jesus is going to say those words, I'm pretty much in his camp. I've got to fight my earthly desires to worry, and I just must rejoice. 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 Heavenly Father, I come before you today, and I want to, first off, to say thank you. Thank you for the words of Jesus today. Human beings are wired, Lord. We're just wired to be anxious. We're wired to worry. We're just made that way in our hearts and our souls, because those are the times that we're just not totally depending upon you. It would be my desire that the remaining days I have in my life, that I simply trust you more. That my faith grow so much more. So that when those times of worry enter my heart and my soul and my mind, Lord, I can deal with them quickly and just understand you already know what's going on in my life. You're already there. Now, there are some things obviously we're concerned about, and we should be. But worry is worrying about things we can't change and worrying about things we can. Oh, Father, I pray that as we go through this life, we as Christians today, in this service, will fully give that over to you. I don't want to worry anymore. I want to see your grace. I want to see your love that you've showed upon us. Oh, God, I ask that during this time of invitation, you have your way. Father, I pray that hearts be touched. And, Lord, if there are some who are just overtaken with worry today, I pray that they'll lose it. They'll throw that stone out and put it on the stage today. Lord, I ask that you have your time. You have your way. You press upon us your desire. And, Lord, that we will follow. Father, I'll ask these things in your Son's name. Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Would you please stand with me? Worry. Oh, can we cast it aside? Can we just put it aside just for a little bit this morning? I don't know what your desires are today. I don't know if there's anybody here that needs to come and accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I don't know if there's some who may need to come and join this church. Maybe you've got a special prayer request and you just need to come down here and lay it before the Lord. Whatever it may be, today is the time. Today is the hour. Today is the moment. Don't hang on to it. The Holy Spirit has spoken to you. Today's the time.